Good morning. I'm Davide Bartolini, and I'm going to talk about the framework for thermal and performance management we've developed at Politecnico di Milano in collaboration also with Lund University. And more specifically, we'll talk about the DPTM framework, which stands for Dynamic Performance and Thermal Management. So for just start with some context. We don't really deal with cloud. So the session is about cloud, but we're not really in cloud computing, but we draw some motivation from cloud computing, and more specifically from server farms. It has been shown that the total cost of ownership of a data center is about 80% of it is related to power costs, and 35% is about powering the cooling system. So, well, temperature is a big deal there. So if you can reduce the temperature, the average temperature of a data center, you really can save money. And of course, one of the hottest components in computing systems are processors, which are, as I said, one of the hottest components for most of server workloads. We're dealing with cheap multiprocessors because they're pervasive in data centers, on servers, but also on mobile devices and laptops. And of course, this our approach. We focused on the server market, let's say, but it is applicable also to mobile devices. For instance, you don't want your mobile phone to burn your hand while you're calling. And we deal with applications that are not real time. So like, for instance, video encoders on servers or maybe a file crawler on a mobile device, and which needs some sort of weak guarantees in terms of quality of service, but I will talk more about this later. One of the stronger motivations for our work is that it is very important to keep processors at a reasonable temperature, because if the temperature gets too high, you have a reduced mean time to failure, so processor break more, the breakages of processors get higher, and you have also higher leakage power. And also, traditional dynamic thermal management techniques are for dealing with emergency situations, so avoiding breaking the chip. But there are not really many worse, but in the recent past, dealing with runtime systems to manage temperature. So I start with an example to try to explain what is our point. One of the most common approach in scheduling is a run to idle approach. So the idea is that you run the operations as quickly as possible using all the computational power you have on your processor, and then you go to an idle state to save energy. Overall, this approach has been proved to be energy efficient, but maybe in some cases, as I said, it is important to reduce the temperature, and maybe you can lose some performance in order to reduce the average temperature. The figure shows this idea. This is taken from real data using our framework. And the red line shows the 4.4 BSD scheduler on FreeBSD, which uses a run-to-idle approach. So it terminates the workload earlier, but it gets a higher temperature. Also, the peak temperature is higher, but also the average temperature is higher. On the other hand, if you use our framework and you put a set point on the temperature, you don't go much higher, and you get the lower temperatures, of course, that the performance is a little worse. But in some cases, you can afford it. In some other cases, you cannot afford it. So we are not the first to deal with this problem. There are some works in the state of the art. And the two most commonly used techniques are DVFS, so scaling frequency and voltage, and isocycle injection. The first technique is more coarse-grained, and it exploits the ability of processors to go into different operational points, which require less power, and so it produces a different amount of heat. The other techniques, the idle cycle injection technique, which is what we used, is based on the idea that you can execute the idle thread for brief periods so that the processor can go into low power mode, and so reduce the average power draw and so the temperature. One of the works in the state of the art that we analyzed is the Dimetron framework, which was presented at DAC 2011. And it exploits the idle cycle injection idea. The figure on the bottom is taken from the presentation of this framework, this previous work. And it shows that with the race to idle approach, we have the maximum power draw for a short period of time, and then the workload ends, and so the system goes to a low power mode. While injecting idle cycles, the execution is longer, but the average power draw is less because you have just short periods of full power execution, and then you go to low power mode and so on. This way, you can reduce temperature. We found this idea interesting, and we built our system on that, but this framework has a couple of shortcomings. First of all, it uses open loop control, so it's not really autonomic, we can say. The management is not goal-oriented. You just specify the probability of injecting the idle cycle, but you don't really know what temperature you will get. What we want is to build a framework that lets you set a temperature set point and then automatically decides how much idle is needed to get to the set point. Moreover, maybe you cannot afford to slow down some applications too much because there are requirements on performance. So what we want to do with the framework, the PTM framework, is to address these shortcomings and improve the state of the art by using a closed loop control. So letting the user specify a set point in temperature that is needed for the system, is desired for the system, and use a control theoretical based controller in order to compute how much idle time is needed to get to the set point. Moreover, we also account for performance of applications. This is done by using a monitoring framework for throughput. I will talk about this later. And so we can have service level agreements on the performance of tasks. So we can decide which tasks charge the idle time that was injected to. So the objective is to be able to match the goals on performance while also reducing the temperature. So we couple these two objectives into an overall system that is our framework. To show the overall idea with a picture, we have a series of observe, decide, act control loops, which are quite classic in autonomic computing. And we have a coordination among all these loops, these control loops. The idea is that per each core of the chip multiprocessor, we have a control loop that decides how much idle time is needed to get to the performance, to the temperature set point. So per each core, the processor scheduler is informed about how much idle is needed to get to the set point for that core. Then per each SLA bound application, we have another controller that drives the priority of the tasks of this application, so the scheduling priorities, in order to let the application meet its goals. As I said, all these control loops act on the processor at runtime online and modify the way the decisions about which tasks are going to be executed on each core, so the tasks of the applications or the idle task. So again, the idea is that you have applications that may be or may be not bound to SLAs. You want to both match the performance that is required for SLA-bound applications and inject idle cycles, deciding on which core to place the idle thread and how long according to the goals. So it's sort of a goal-oriented framework. To be able to do this, we have two models, one for temperature and one for performance. We try to find a simple enough model so that everything could run at runtime online, and also because part of this is implemented in kernel, so you cannot use very complex estimation systems or controllers. So the thermal model we assume is shown in the first equation. We assume that per each core, the temperature of course these are discrete models, at step k plus one is the temperature as the previous step plus a parameter mu times the idle time that was injected in the scheduling quantum corresponding to that step. Since each core can have its own characteristics, the silicon may be different, maybe so the thermal characteristics may be different. We have the mu parameter, which is an unknown parameter at the beginning, and it is estimated online with an exponential weighted average filter. So, and this allows to take into account differences among the cores and also differences and changes in the workload of the applications. For about the controller, so this is the overall loop of the system. G is the core, is each core, basically. H is the controller. The controller decides how much idle to inject based on the temperature set point. And it is synthesized with a classical control theoretical approach as a deadbeat controller, which is characterized by the fact that the loop transfer function is a pure delay. So when the parameter mu is correct, which should be because we estimate it with the filter, you have that the temperature will get to the set point in the next step, in the next control step. The performance controller is pretty much very, very similar. The difference is that the parameter, we compute the rate, so the throughput R is the throughput here, is the priority of the task, or is the priority of the application, and not the idle time. So we have the equation on the top describes the model for the performance of a compute-bound application, which is based on its priority, in this scheduling priority. Again, we have a parameter to adapt to changes in workload and in the execution context, which is eta. And again, it is estimated just as before with an exponential weighted average filter. And we use just the very same controller as before, so another deadbeat controller, and we have one of these controllers for each application that is bound to a service level agreement. The coupling of the two policies is done via a simple heuristics. We try to keep everything as simple as possible, but to have a system that worked. As I will say in the end, there are plenty of future works. And up to now, the idea is that the most important thing is still to respect the SLAs on performance. So you never want to slow down an application that is not providing the required performance. So the performance has the priority. And idle time injected is charged only to non-SLA bound applications or SLA bound applications that are currently meeting their desired quality of service. Some details on the implementation. We implemented our framework on FreeBSD 7.2, which is the same platform used by the Dimetron framework, and we compared to that framework. And in order to get throughput measurements, we ported the heart rate monitor, which has been presented at DAC 2012. It's open source and it is an efficient throughput monitor. And we ported it to FreeBSD because it was originally based on Linux. And to measure throughput, we use moving averages on 1 second. The temperature is measured by reading the MSR register on the processor per each core. And we run both the performance controllers and the temperature controllers once per 100 milliseconds, which is the same period as the 4.4 BSD scheduler makes decisions. So it would be useless to run more often than that because the scheduler just wouldn't catch the decisions. First of all, we evaluated the thermal aware policy alone and compared it to the Metron framework. In these experiments, the performance controller is not in use because we wanted to be fair in the comparison with the Metron, which has no concept of performance. So what we did is running first a workload with the Metron and record the temperature that is achieved. Because the Metron does not have a temperature set point, so we just set the parameters in a way that was that seemed reasonable according to the paper. And so what was the outcome? Then we used our framework, the DPTM framework, setting a temperature goal that was close to the temperature achieved by the Metron. And what we saw is that with our framework, we were able to match the temperature set point quite close with a low standard deviation. And moreover, we always get lower temperature, lower average temperatures than with Dimetron, and also we get a speed up in performance. This is because our framework is based on a closed control loop, and it just injects idle cycles when they are needed. While Dimetron, it was an open loop control, and it always injected idle cycles with a certain probability, but didn't adapt to the current workload. So we get lower temperature and a speed up. And this is, of course, it looks like an improvement. For instance, I'll show you one of the plots we have in the paper. You can find the others on the paper. This is the Blackshear's application from the Parser 2.1 Venture Suite. And we run it on a six-core machine, on a six-core processor, so it's a six-threaded benchmark in this case. The plot on the top shows the temperature achieved with Dimetron. And on the bottom, we have the temperature of the processor, average temperature, with DPTM. We can see that with Dimetron, the temperature goes up to about 55 degrees, while with DPTM, it stays about around the 50 degrees set point with some little spikes, but it gets to the set point quite fast. And also, the execution time is shorter because, as I said, the idle thread is executed only when really needed to cool the processor. Then we evaluated the overall framework, so with both the thermal and the performance controller on an Antani Core i7, so a quad-core processor. And this time, as I said, we had both the thermal and the performance controller active. In order to evaluate the full framework, we used a more complex workload made of four applications, always from the Parser Benchmark Suite. This time is the Swaptions application. And in this case, we have one of the four applications which is set a performance goal. So one is SLA bound, the other three are not. And we also have a temperature set point. The next slide shows the results. The top plot is the performance of the SLA bound instance of Swaptions. The performance is set at about 40,000 simulations per second. And we can see that the framework is able to keep that the performance goal for the throughput goal for the application. It's not plotting on the graph, but if I remember well, the performance of the four applications running together without the control, it's around 35,000 simulations per second. So this application, which is bound to an SLA, is sped up with respect to the others in order to match the goal. On the other end, we also match the temperature goal, which is set at 60 degrees Celsius. So what happens is that the system is able to slow down the three non-SLA bound applications in order to cool the processor, but it still matches the performance goal for the SLA bound application. In conclusion, what we did with the DPTM framework is trying to couple thermal and performance management, and this approach is applicable to many computing areas, to servers and maybe data centers, but also to mobile computing. The key idea of our approach is probably using closed loop policies, both for thermal and for performance control. And with this work, we showed the soundness of the methodology. We didn't, of course, close the research area. There are many open problems. For instance, we plan to improve the thermal model to account for thermal interaction between cores because we didn't account for this in this model. We plan to improve the action of the idle cycle injection mechanism in multi-threaded applications because if you don't treat each thread of the multi-threaded application evenly, you create false critical paths. And of course, we didn't account for this in this first implementation, but we plan to extend it in the future. And maybe you can try to devise different strategies to couple the two policies, maybe for better managing situations of resource scarceness. So this is all. I would like to thank my co-authors and the USENIX organizers for providing the help to come here. If you have questions. Nobody? Okay. Please.
So my question is, you did the system identification, means the model building on the same application with actually you evaluate, right? So the same benchmark application. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if how the controller model works with different kind of applications. For example, some applications heavily use the floating point, some applications heavily use the cache, or you know.
Well, in fact, I mean, we deal with compute-bound applications. So if you have an application that is IO-bound, it's not the case. I mean, because we are dealing just with the heat produced by the processor. So we deal with only with compute-bound applications. And the differences in the workload are modeled by the parameter in the controllers. So we have that eta parameter that is estimated online, and that parameter accounts for differences in the workload. So maybe at some time the workload makes it more difficult for the application to match the performance set point, and that parameter will change so that the model takes into account this. And the same happens for the thermal controller. So maybe an application for at a certain point produces more heat because it uses more functional units, and the mu parameter takes into account this effect.
Yeah, I'm just curious how variable those kind of parameters can be. So how much, what's the range of these parameters? It's totally different or a little bit different?
I don't really have an answer to this question because I don't remember. We looked into the traces for the parameters. I don't really remember. But yeah, they can vary quite a bit.
Okay, thank you.
Let me ask something. So when you say you're monitoring CPU temperature, you mean the whole chip or just the CPU portion of that chip?
We consider the temperature of each core of the CMP. And the data that I showed are the average of the six or four cores that we were using.
Well, one thing I don't get about the difference between your like stall cycle injection versus race to the race to sleep strategy mm-hmm. is caches, because while the processor is sleeping, the caches you still have to power it, because if you don't power it, then you have to evict the whole thing, and then it becomes very expensive. So that thing's still powered up while you're sleeping, so you're wasting power. It seems like you really want to be sleeping between working sets, which is not what you're doing. So am I missing something about the applications, the strategy?
Well, in fact, when you inject the idle cycle, the processor is able to go to low power mode, mm-hmm. so the C states in Intel processors. And so you really reduce temperature and you reduce power consumption. When the idle cycle is executed, instantaneous power draw gets down.
Right, so, but what about the caches?
In fact, I'm not expert in this mm-hmm. topic, so I'm not sure about how caches are handled when the low power mode is activated. But what I'm sure about is that when you execute the idle thread, the processor uses less power. So I'm sorry, I don't really know how caches are treated.
So that would be maybe something to make sure. Well, it sounds like you're using Sandy Bridge for those MSRs.
Yeah.
I'm not certain if those power measurements include caches. That would be good to just check.
I don't know. We that's a good point.
All right, cool.
Thanks.
Okay, so.
Thank you.